Roll the tape.
This podcast is protected by copyright and not for broadcast. See rsn.net.au for more details.
They're racing
now on Taz Racing Talk. Time to talk thoroughbreds.
Champion Tasmanian galloper Gigi's Black Flash back in the winner's circle again last Sunday, winning the St. Ledger in brilliant fashion. And today we catch up with his trainer, John Luttrell. How are you, John?
Very good, thanks. Yeah. Well,
must have been a great thrill for you to see him race to victory in the St. Ledger last week.
Yeah, it was a great thrill. He won the week before at Hobart, and then he backed up again and won again. So everyone was asking to step up. He's done the job there. It's going good.
Bit hard to say he's in career best form, but he couldn't be far off it.
Yeah, I always got the impression, to me, that over the car, he was going as good as what he'd go, but Melbourne horse came over here, Mike Kent's horse, Pingland, and won both the Cups, but he beat the local horses, and he was always going good, but, too good for him over in the Cup, but he's still going good, yeah.
Now, he's a seven-year-old, he's a Klingelang La Quita galloper. At what stage did you realise that you could have a potential star on your hands?
Yeah, well, he had two runs with a two-year-old. He's a bit wayward, and then we brought him back in a maiden, and my brother Mick had a horse called Cracker, and he was a real good horse, and I even dealt with him in a 400-metre maiden, and young Darryl Horner rode him. He was riding over hurdles in Melbourne at the moment, and when we got to the furlong peg, Black Flash just pulled out from beyond this Cracker and went bang and put about 5 lengths on him. And when we walked down the mountain yard, Mick walked up to me like he was training for a while, and he said, "Jesus," he said, "that horse of yours, he's one out of the box, isn't he?" I said, "I think he's pretty good." He said, "That horse of mine's a real good horse." He went past him on the side of the fence. So after that, we knew we had a good horse in the hands.
And what about some of his best wins, John? Probably not necessarily in the biggest races, but races that you think he performed at his best and probably won when maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, a couple of times there he won. Like, that week at Elwes, he had 68 kilos that week at Elwes, and he carried 64, and he put paid them pretty good, and the top win, and that was one of his top wins. And even when he won the Derby and sort of races, he won as a three-year-old. He beat the good horse of Gay Waterhouse, he beat it, and then after that he had a bleeding attack on the track, and then we thought, he might never come back any good, so we had to spell him to start again. And when he came back again, he just went bang, bang, bang. He was unbeatable, like how good he was going, yeah.
And, of course, he's edging up towards that magical million-dollar mark, made even more incredible by the fact that he's never raced out of Tassie.
Yeah, he's never been out of Tassie. Peter Murden said to me, going back a couple of years ago, he said, he could probably win a Caulfield Cup, this horse, or Australian Handicap, as a good old galloper he is. He said, and Paul just wanted to race him here. He said, he's a Tassie awesome, Tassie bred. And he just wanted to run him here, and he enjoys going to the race and watching him. He's an older sort of fellow that owns him, Paul and Elizabeth and that, and they love watching him in the race, and that's the way we like to just keep near sort of thing, yeah.
$965,800. It's not a bad effort.
Yeah, it's a good whack of money, yeah. It's been nice to get to me, and so, but he pulled up good and all, so he's gone to the paddock yesterday afternoon. You have a bit of a break, and we'll bring him back and start again.
19 wins from 56 starts. Where do you think he might be heading early next season?
Yeah, if he sprints pretty fresh. If I think he comes up as good as what I think he will, I might even run him in the new market. Then we'll push on probably a few away from age races with him sort of thing, just see how he comes up. But if he's going good in that, we'll just push him wherever comes in front of him. I think he can hold his own if anything he runs against.
Now, he's such a versatile galloper, John. That must be a real headache for you. It's a good headache to have to work out just exactly where you are going to place him.
Yeah, he's just one of them horses. He can win a short race, a long race, wet track, dry track, carry big weights. He wouldn't put anything past him. That's a good horse he is. He's so versatile. He can do anything with him. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him win the new market.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed for you that he can and that he gets to that million-dollar mark very shortly. You've done a great job placing him throughout the years, and all the best for the rest of his racing career. And, of course, you as a trainer of one of the leading stables in the state.
Thanks very much.
Taz Racing Talk. Everything you need to get the edge.
Wonderful program in Launceston last week with the Tasmanian St. Ledger, the Size Produce, also the Autumn Classic, just to mention a few of the wonderful races that were staged and to tell us all about them. Peter Staples, how are you, Pete?
Yeah, g'day, Shane. Yeah, it was a terrific meeting in Launceston, and a couple of the feature races were small in numbers, but, boy, it was all quality and some fantastic racing.
Well, what about the champ, GG's Black Flash?
Oh, he's enormous, isn't he? Look, he didn't beat a heck of a lot, but the bottom line is he's carried 60 kilos. He's been carried 64 kilos to win the start before, and he's just a champion. And look, he's probably, what, 35,000 off his $1 million, all won in Tassie. I don't know whether that'll ever be done again, but probably will be when the worms have got us. But I just the way he's going, he'll go for a spell now. Johnny Luttrell said that he'll bring him back. He'll go for the weight for age. He might even pop him in the Newmarket first up. Just probably the same road that he took last time. But I had a talk to Paul Geard, and I said, what are you going to do when he strikes a million if that happens? Would you retire him then? He said, that's probably what we might do, but we'll just play it by ear. I'm tipping that if he gets $1 million, they'll send him to a paddock for the rest of his life to have a wonderful play.
Now, he's a seven-year-old. He's so versatile, Pete. That's the key to him, isn't it? You mentioned a Newmarket. From a Newmarket to a Launceston Cup, it's not a bad effort.
I think he's probably lost a zip in his legs to win a Newmarket first up. The older they get, they just need the ground. But it's a race, certainly, he's good enough to go in as a pipe opener for one of the weight for age races. And I think he'll get to a 1,600-metre weight for age, maybe the Tasmania Stakes or... one of the races leading up to the George Adams, even the George Adams, but I don't think he'll tackle the cups. He'll get too much weight.
And John Luttrell, his trainer, he's done a mighty job placing him through his career.
Well, he has. He had to be careful with him after he had that bleeding attack, but he certainly has looked after him, and the horse has delivered the goods. He's just a wonderful horse around the stables too. I tell you what, Johnny will be lonely when GG's Black Flash is no longer at his stables at Brighton.
Tasmanian-sized produce. We spoke to Barry Campbell last week about the chances of running the trifecta. That's exactly what he did.
Yeah, exactly. But Admiral, how good was he? There was a little query, probably not in Barry's mind about the journey, but certainly about the state of the track. And it was a slow track, a genuine slow track, and on the worst side of slow, it cut up quite a bit. And even though we didn't have any rain through the day, but boy, he just joined in and he just gave them absolute toweling. He was awesome, and he clearly our two-year-old of the year, no question about that. And I asked Barry whether it's the best two-year-old he's trained, and he pretty much said probably is. And he did train Alpha, as you know, and we'll see what he does as a three-year-old, but he could be even more exciting next season.
Well, paid the amazing odds of $2, so... punters weren't exactly sure whether he could run the 1,400, were they?
No, they weren't. And that was the big query. Maybe that was a ploy by Barry. I don't think he wouldn't have backed him. But, it was terrific value in the end about him.
And a 3.5 length victory. And then we had Izzy Bayouva sent out the odds-on favourite in the next over 1,400 and certainly proved superior.
How enormous was she? 7.5 lengths. And she didn't beat... she beat fair horses, but when David Perez hit the go button at the top of the straight, she just destroyed them. And she's just absolutely brilliant, this mare. And she's won the Bone Mistress, and she's won the other two feature races at the end of the season, and she's done a terrific job. She ran third in the Vamos, and she was probably a bit unlucky that night because she got held up at a crucial stage, but still. She's done a great job for Connections this season, and she's a bonny mare, and she'll get to do it all again next season.
Now, we all know racing can be a real up and down game to be involved in. They don't often come on the same day, but that was the case for Terry Evans with Inner Warrior in the Autumn Classic.
Yeah, he did a terrific job. It's his pet distance, 1,400 at Launceston. He won the size produce that day last year, and he's come out and he's won the three-year-old Autumn Classic. And he's a terrific horse. He's won the Guineas. He's proven he's top class winning that listed race, and there he was presented, and people still couldn't believe that they bet $7 about him. The money was so strong for Halibut Street from the Brunton stable that people just kept forgetting about the toppy, and he just demolished them. And on the way home, he's had a bleeding attack on the way home from one nostril. So when Terry got home and opened the bay door on the truck, distraught to find that he bled. It was nothing major, but still, it's enough to warrant him having to be mandatory 3 months off the scene. And as they all the connections said, look, if it had to happen, then this is the best time for it to happen, because there was a possibility of taking him across the road, across the water, to have a race in Melbourne. But now he's just got to go out, and he'll be out for a break and have a couple of months off, and then bring him back into light work, and he'll be pretty much the same thing happened to GG's Black Flash. So if that's the case, then if he can do what GG's Black Flash did after a bleed, then he'll be doing all right.
And even more serious news for one of our real stars of the turf, in Black and Tough from the Leon Wills stable.
Yeah, it's made official. I spoke to Leon and he confirmed that she got an infection. She was being prepared for a couple of races, and she just absolutely was on fire racing this season. And her and Rebel Bride, her stable mate, were just winning just about everything, taking in turns. And they went out one morning after a track work, worked great in the morning, went out the next day, opened the box, and she had her leg had blown up near the knee joint, and that's they just couldn't find out what it was. They thought it was a spider bite and a whole lot of things. Finally, they finished up sending it a scone, and then they actually discovered what the infection was, but it had just taken so long and everything else. It's pretty much the chances of her resuming racing, Leon said, she's a 99% chance never to race again. So pretty much they're pretty much convinced that that's the case. So they're looking now to go to not a single doubt. She'll go to stud, and not a single doubt is the stallion they're likely to go to. And Tony Shepherd's the owner. Of course, the mare was raced in partnership by Chris and Sharon Wickham.
Certainly bad news. Let's hope that she performs as well at stud as she did on the racetrack. Now, we've got a big card coming up at Devonport on Sunday. 8 races on the card. Can you steer us onto a winner on the program?
Yeah, look, the first race... Look, I think it's a match between the 8 Manchiro and the top weight piece of work coming back from a spell. Manchiro in much improved run last time out, and it's certainly a chance again. There's a first starter in the race out of Nuclear Free. You remember the mare that Johnny Blacker trained? This one's by Von Costa de Hero, one of his first crop, and she ran second in a trial, and... he ran second in trial, I should say, behind Valiant Warrior, only beaten a half bit and didn't get knocked about in the trial. So it's certainly one we can have a look at in the first race, number 9. So maybe 8, 1 and 9, the trifecta, and they have the top chances in the first.
The second is the maiden class 1 plate, 1650.
I reckon this is the best bet of the day, Judah. If you had a look at its run at Launceston on Sunday, and it was over the 1200, it was super run. It was last, and it was doing its best work at the business end of proceedings, and I've just said, I can hardly wait for this to get to a mile, and then, bang, here it is, 1650 on the synthetic. It's had 4 runs up there on the synthetic for 2 placings. I just think it's a money for Jam Jot. Anthony Darmanin's a ride. I think it's a special, and probably 1, 7, and 8 the miners. So 4 are special and 1, 7, 8, and take the trifecta and first 4 around those numbers.
Okay, standing with a real ring of confidence there in the second. Your old mate Kuta Fides goes around race 3.
Yeah, he's, like I said, Kuta Fides, he was a great footballer for Carlton. But you go broke back in Kuta Fides. he's been, if you're backing him for a place, you're doing all right. Look, he's probably a place chance again. But I saw Sid the Sloth. It's hard saying that when you've had a few. No, I'm only kidding. He's first up from a spell. He's got good first up form. Brendan McCool jumps on, drawn wide gate, but I still think he's a better horse than Kuta Fides. Kuta Fides drawn 14 with Kimmy Moore aboard. I think the 8 and the 6 Mundine finally drawn a decent gate, 3 kilos off for Hayley McCarthy. Had no luck in Hobart, just put a line through that run last Wednesday, and it'll be much improved, and it should handle the synthetic okay. So I thought the 8 and the 6 had fought it out, and the toppy a little bit Dutch, and Kuta Fides the miners.
Race number 4, the benchmark 68, over 1,000 metres, Lady Democracy stepping up to in grade.
I think 2, 3, 4 and 5, I think they're the main chances here. Hellstrong for Leon Wells, used to be with the Bruntons, now with Leon, now trained on the track. It's a fair horse, but first up I think the others might be a bit too zippy. I'd be inclined to have something on Lazy Democracy and Save on a Spry, Classic Outlaw or Storm Bay Bomber. I think 2, 3, 4 and 5 then. The box first 4 trifecta should be the way to go there.
Well, He's Apples, you mentioned it last week, was a sneaky chance. It got the prize at $33. Can it do it again?
Well, look, they want to take John wants to take him to Melbourne. So if he wants to take him to Melbourne, he's going to win this. he's drawn gate 9, but I don't think it matters. He'd go out and he could sit outside the lead. And you know, look, he was 3 wide all the way last time, so you know, it's not the best of rides, but you know, the horse was too good in the end. So when a horse wins after a run like that, you tend to take your mind off the jockey's performance. And but Georgie, look, you know, she's a good rider. She'll learn from that, and she'll find a slot. I think there's plenty of speed that she can latch onto to get a position. I think he'll be a chance again. Soundbar, he was game, and I think he's going to be better when he gets up to 1350 on his home track. But he's got to be a chance for Toppy, along with Strictly Romance, a good run last time out, and Money Penny, a good winner last time. I think probably Heath Apples and Money Penny. That'd be the Quinella I'd be having a crack at, and I'd have the 1, the 7, and the 10 in for the minors.
Race number 6 on the card, Alarmist, came from well back to win last time out in Hobart. Can it go back to back for Gary White?
Yeah, I think it's just certainly a chance. But second up and up on the synthetic, obviously race is all right there. But I thought another Concerto. Look, she won last time out on the track, and then she ran a bottler behind Izzy Behever, and this is such a step down in class from that run. And she was game. They got a flying another Concerto. I don't see any reason why she can't win again. So another Concerto for me. And the danger to be Crystal Reef, I think, would be a much improved run. It was well out of its depth last time. Back to this grade and this distance, I think Crystal Reef, trained on the track by Craig Conron, will give us a run for the money. Alarmist, of course, and Blacko, and Different. Different will probably lead this field if Pingala's GG is in the race, so you just don't know. But I like 6 and the 3, 4, 5 and 7 for the miners.
Race number 7, Brendan McCool hops on the Adam Trinder trained Beer Belly first up from a spell.
Yeah, he's good form first up, Beer Belly. And if you look at his form, he ran 3 seconds and he won. He had no luck and got knocked down when he was 50. He had 2 more seconds, then had a bit of problem when he ran 6th and was 2nd just prior to being tipped out for a spell. Very consistent galloper this, and Adam's got an opinion of him, and comes back in 50, carrying a good horse's weight, 59 in this class too, but he's the real deal. I think Finesto, I think if he carries that first up run into this race, and he'll benefit a lot from that run, and he was game to be 2nd, 2 kilo claim for Ismail Taker is going to help the cause as well. So I like Finesto over Beer Belly. I think Deceitful Cove, number 6, 8, Sarimbi. Now, she led them up, and she was actually the reason why Siobhan Spirit fizzed out at the back, because she just couldn't get across Sarimbi. She just kept hunting up and annoyed the heck out of Siobhan Spirit in Easy Behaviour's race on Sunday. So I think Sarimbi is a big drop down in class, so she'd probably lead and be handy at the business end. And Super Broadmad might be able to sneak into a place as well. It was scratched the barrier last time. I think it bumped its head on the gates and they had to pull it out. But it had been working well. I like the 1 and the 2 and the 4, 6 and 8.
In the last, Mr. McCartney, no luck at its 3 previous starts before it finally broke through, beating Willow the Wisp and Royal Beluga at Devonport back in the middle of May.
Yeah, that was the benchmark 62. Goes to the 68 here. I think it won its race. He and Music Player, geez, it's in terrific form. They're riding it. Spoke to Charlie at Elwick, and he won here 2 starts back, and they've been riding it back. Decided to let him get back, get comfortable, and just changing his mindset. They used to lead on him, and that was a process that they were trying, and it was working. And then he got sick of that, so they had to sort of keep the horse interested. So they're riding him back and keeping him quiet, and he's settling really well now. So I think they'll do the same. He did the same again in Launceston. In Hobart, and he'll do the same again on Sunday. I'll let him get back. Ismail Toker's aboard. The 2 kilos off. He's been riding the horse well. So with 57, I think is a very winnable race for Music Player again to get the hat-trick of wins. 3, Will-O-The-Wisp. He's been placed at his past couple. 1-3 starts back. Bulabuku, thank heavens he wasn't hurt when he came to grief on Glendevie in the last race at Mowbray. But he's just got a little bit of bruising. But he'll be right to ride for the weekend. 6, Mr. McCartney. You've got to put him in because he'll probably lead and bowl along and be the one to run down. Prince Obama, I think, can improve back in this grade over 1880. And Royal Beluga, the distance will test Royal Beluga. 2, 3, 6, 1 and 8, but I like the 2 a lot each way.
What about a quality for the program, Pete?
Yeah, look, I think you've probably got to go wide in most of the legs. Although the last, I reckon you can limit it to probably limit it to 2 and 3. But I like His Apple. So the quaddie, I'd say 2, 8, 7, and 10 in the first leg. In the second leg, we'll have 3, 4, 5, and 6. In the third leg, we'll have 1, 2, and 6. And the last leg, well, you can go wide if you like and take 1, 2, 3, 6, and 8. But I would even be game enough to limit that to 2 and 3, music player and Will of the Wisp.
All right, Pete, thanks for your thoughts again today, and we'll catch up with you again next week.
Look forward to it.
This podcast was brought to you by rsn.net.au.